If you had to choose a single work to represent the Victorian obsession with the Middle Ages, Frank Dix's Chivalry would certainly be a good candidate. It's a picture which on one level is very easy to get into, but to really get to grips with what it would have meant to a Victorian audience takes a bit of a leap of historical imagination. What you see when you look at the painting is really very simple. A good knight in shining armour is sheathing his sword, having vanquished a wicked knight. The wicked knight is evidently the person who bound the damsel to the tree. Presumably he was about to have his wicked way with her when he was interrupted by the good knight. Obviously he hadn't got at all far with this, since though the damsel's red cloak is at her feet and her blue dress is slightly awry, revealing her shoulder, she's really still quite decorous, at least by modern standards, and not at all indecent, even by Victorian ones. The good knight, perhaps thinking of the splendid effect created by his silhouette against the setting sun, has thoughtfully removed his helmet and lain it down on the grass before adopting his victor's pose. His opponent, it's to be noted, is not actually dead. His right hand is raised to grasp the good knight's foot. Thus, since the good knight is sheathing his sword, his immensely long sword, the wicked knight's life is to be spared. The good knight is merciful in victory, just as a chivalrous knight should be. And tied to the wrong side of the tree for spectator comfort, the damsel must have missed most of the fighting. But she strains over her shoulder and manages to catch a glimpse of the good knight, and the sight of his handsome features certainly seemed to arouse appropriate feelings of gratitude in her bright eyes and parted lips. If the picture is looked at in these terms, it comes across as something of a cliché. Whether the knight is Galahad or Percival or Lancelot or whoever he is, there is no real human interest because we don't know who he is and we don't know who she is. The tradition of painting medieval subjects which had grown up in the 1850s, for example in the works of Rossetti and Burne-Jones, had generally been about particular knights and particular damsels. These were characters whose lives and personalities were known from literature and who appeared in paintings therefore, with some credentials already established. When Dixie exhibited Chivalry at the Royal Academy in 1885, it wasn't a huge success, and I guess the reason for this was the absence of any link to the familiar knights of Arthurian legend. Only a few critics picked up the fact that it was Dix's specific intention, in fact, to avoid telling the story of any particular knight. The point of this painting, as reflected in its single-word title, was to represent the concept of chivalry in the abstract. This is where it becomes more difficult to truly respond to the picture with a 19th-century mindset, because for us it's almost impossible to grasp the sincerity and conviction with which the Victorian middle class believed in medieval chivalry as a plausible mode of behaviour for the modern man. Thus it was that when, in the 1840s, the British government saw to the decoration of its brand new Houses of Parliament, built of course in Gothic style, one of the key images they wanted was the spirit of chivalry. That was not about the unrequited loves of Sir Lancelot, it was because the spirit of chivalry, along with its companion, the spirit of justice, were the moral cornerstones of the Victorian state. And it is this, not a narrative from the age of chivalry, but chivalry itself that Dixie is trying to portray and which in his spectators he is trying to inspire. To defend goodness, purity and innocence while dealing manfully but mercifully with those who threaten goodness, purity and innocence, these were the rightful aspirations of the Victorian gentleman. The code of chivalry, as resurrected in the 19th century, survived well into the 20th century, of course, and I have here a copy of Baden-Powell's Scouting for Boys. This was originally published in 1908. The full title is Scouting for Boys, a Handbook for Instruction in Good Citizenship. And I'd like to read you just a few lines from the section Hints to Instructors. The very first words are, how to practice chivalry. 1. Make each scout tie a knot in his necktie every morning as a reminder to carry out his idea of doing a good turn every day. 2. Take your boys to an armoury such as the Tower of London and explain to them the armour and weapons of the knights. And then, under the heading Games, Knight Errantry. Scouts go out singly or in pairs or as a patrol to find women or children in want of help and to return and report on their honour what they have done, and so on. Of course, many of the boys who received the instruction recommended in this book became the soldiers who took these ideas with them to the trenches of the First World War. And there, the spirit of chivalry was finally and brutally blown apart by the advent of modern warfare. It's difficult now to look back on real-life chivalry as anything more than an historical curiosity of a slightly ridiculous kind. So we'll never again be able to feel the real significance of Dix's painting. It's actually a rallying call to the better side of your nature. It's a very large and splendid knot in your necktie, reminding you to do a good deed every day.